May I speak in the name of God, the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer. On the fourth Sunday of Lent in the second year of the three-year lectionary cycle, we encountered this very curious incident recorded in the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers. There's a crisis unfolding among the Israelites, and it seems that in response to their endless grumbling about the quality of the food, God, whose patience seems to be wearing thin, expresses his anger by sending an infestation of venomous snakes, resulting in many deaths. A little etymological aside here. The translation, curiously, that we read this morning describes the snakes as poisonous. Snakes are never poisonous. They are always venomous. The difference being that venomous creatures bite. Poisonous creatures are ingested. A little aside. But it's not the only curiosity about the story. Seeing the distress that the infestation has caused, God relents. One might wonder even if God repents of his hasty action. And he instructs Moses to cast in bronze. Someone after 8 o'clock said to me this morning, where did the bronze come from? But anyway, Moses casts in bronze the image of a serpent and puts it on a pole and raises it up at the center of the camp. It seems that this divine instruction contradicts the second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image, but perhaps it's okay for the divine nature to contradict God's self. But more helpfully, we might call Numbers 21, verses 4 to 9, a story of spiritual homeopathy, which sheds light on the processes underlying the human experience of healing. Western allopathic medicine effects a cure by introducing a substance that has been found to combat the condition. And we're all immensely grateful for antibiotics. Homeopathy treats conditions by introducing a small amount of the element which in larger amounts is the cause of the condition, thus triggering the body's defenses. And many Western medical practitioners remain skeptical of the homeopathic philosophy, yet aren't we all deeply grateful for vaccines, which seem to operate according to the homeopathic principle? The toxin that kills is the agent that heals. And Numbers 21 is a story of totem power, which triggers change through the power of a spiritual perception. The totem is a human-made or naturally occurring object with a spiritual significance, capable of transforming perception. The mention of a totem brings back memories for me. Christchurch, the city in New Zealand where I grew up, is the logistical and personnel hub for the US Antarctic Expedition Project. And at the entrance of the expedition base, which is alongside the airport, there stands a tall wooden totem pole, a gift from the Native American tribes of the Pacific Northwest to another people on the opposite sides of the same ocean. The American First Nations people of the Northwest perceived the totem pole to be the source of spiritual power, embodying their sense of history and identity. And in the perception of the Israelites, the bronze serpent, the symbol of death, became imbued with the spiritual perception of their healing. Now, there's an old saying that perception is 9/10 of reality. Healing is a mysterious process because it's impossible to trace the linkages between cause and effect, which seems an anathema to the scientific mind. Yet despite the inability to map the links of cause and effect, the effect produced by homeopathic healing is nevertheless real. And the bronze serpent is imbued with the totem spiritual significance. It is no mere incident, coincidence that the caduceus, the double or single-headed serpent coiled around the rod of Asclepius, a totem from Greek mythology, has become the symbol of healing for the healing profession. The healing profession, a name that reveals the older homeopathic foundations for what today has become predominantly allopathic Western medicine. And in the third chapter of the Gospel of John that we heard this morning, Jesus is in a conversation with a leading Pharisee named Nicodemus, during which Jesus evokes the story from Numbers 21. He says, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Jesus' mission will require him likewise to be lifted up over the world, so that anyone who looks at him upon the cross will experience the transformation from death to life. As Christians, whether we are conscious or not, we stand in the shadow of the cross. We imbue the cross with spiritual significance, a perception that directly shapes our experience of reality. For us, the cross carries totem power. Now, to use a slightly different metaphor, the cross becomes the lens through which our perception of the world comes into focus. Gazing on the cross means to stand in its shadow. And within its shadow, we perceive our worldview, which then dictates the actions that shape and reshape the nature of our experience in the world. Remember, perception is 9/10 of reality. The shadow cast by the cross brings into sharper focus the contours of our own shadow side, our hatreds, prejudices, and fears, our sorrows and loves, especially the loves of a disordered, narcissistic, or selfish variety. All our afflictions that we try to conceal from scrutiny. Here, with greater clarity, we note the aspects of self that we long to change. We note the aspects of self we tenaciously resist changing. Those aspects of personality we are powerless on our own to change. Yet none of this matters in an ultimate sense, for to stand in the shadow of the cross is to be healed despite ourselves. For on the cross God so loved the world. And in other words, God changed the world through the power of self-sacrificial love. The totem power of the cross is love. The love demonstrated on the cross is not a love that condemns, but a love that challenges, maybe even confronts, but ultimately confirms and strengthens. Because love heals. And standing in the shadow of the cross, the late Irish poet John O'Donohue, in his poem A Morning Offering, wrote, "Of minds come alive to the invisible geography that invites us to new frontiers, to break the dead shell of yesterdays, to risk being disturbed and changed." This is what it means to stand in the shadow of the cross. And standing in the shadow of the cross, the toxins of shame and guilt and pain and failure become transformed through love's action, shaping our perceptions and guiding our actions in the world. God said to Moses, "Make a venomous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." Standing in the shadow of the cross, death becomes transformed into new life. Or as O'Donohue so eloquently puts it, new life, to do at last what we came here for and waste our hearts on fear no more. Amen.